Episode 2119, My Strength is My Story with Karen Eamon. Reach out, gather in.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Karen Eamon. It is time to open up your heart so you can open up your house. It's all about reach out, gather in. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Karen's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, Karen and I had an incredible conversation. One that I really want to encourage you to listen all the way to the end because there is a zinger to the heart at the end of this. You will miss out on the blessing if you don't go all the way to the end. And plus, you know what? As we talk about period. No, not the menstrual cycle. I'm talking about the end, finished period. We also talk about HGTV. Are you trying to have everything perfect in your life before you invite someone in? Yeah. That's a good question. And then soul sharing. Are you into surface sharing or soul sharing? We jam out about that. And she really begins to pull back the layers as to what she sees and how to reach out, gather in. Without further ado, let's welcome in Karen Eamon. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a New York Times bestselling author in the house, and more importantly, we have a woman with a heart of gold. Her name is Karen Eamon. She is a wife of 34 years to her college sweetheart, Todd, and mother to their three children and mom in love to two. You might know her from Proverbs 31 ministry as a speaker, or maybe you've read some of her devotionals on Encouragement for Today, an online devotional that reaches 4 million users daily. As a New York Times bestselling author, Karen has written 15 books and Bible studies. Plus, she is a contributing writer for the 5 Bible Study app. How she has time enjoying collecting vintage kitchenware and cheering on the Detroit Tigers, well, is beyond me. But she always makes room at her table with her brand new project, Reach Out, Gather In, 40 days to opening your heart and home. So grab something warm to drink and let's come together. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I'm great, Christiane. How are you today?
I'm very well. I cannot believe your book is out and it's a beauty. I've read it and it's 40 days to incredible, well, let's just say a lot of giving, but also with those gifts comes receiving. Before we jump into that though, I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
What brings me joy? Sitting in my backyard, sipping something warm and creamy in my little slice of woods at the back of my property, watching the black squirrels run around the trees.
Are they really black squirrels?
Yes, we have like 7 or 8 black squirrels that live in our backyard.
Wow, I don't know that I've ever seen a black squirrel. I've seen an albino squirrel, but a solid black squirrel, you know, kind of more of those tan, but not black. That's amazing.
Well, and actually I used to teach nature classes for kids when I was in high school, and there really is no such thing as a black squirrel. There's only brown squirrels and gray squirrels, and the black ones are just really, really dark gray, but they look black.
Oh my goodness. Well, little did I know I would have a nature lesson too with all of this. That is awesome. Well, what was it like for little Karen growing up?
Well, I grew up in a single parent home with a mom living on a budget so tight it squeaked. And she was a fabulous cook. She was actually doing it for her career to be a single mom raising two kids. But I never really learned how to cook or how to entertain or any of that when I was growing up. But when I got to college, I met and married a man who has a family full of interior decorators. One owned a bed and breakfast. And so it was quite a wake-up call for little Karen, who didn't even know how to barely boil water and make slice and bake cookies, to get married to this guy who, oh, they could do everything. They could decorate, cook, all of that stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Well, talk about a turnaround. Well, where did God meet you in your life?
I became a believer when I was 16. I lived on a corner out in the country where, depending on what part of the country you're from, kitty corner or catty corner, from you was a sweet little white church with a big tall steeple, and they got a new pastor, and he came with a wife and two kids, and that pastor's wife, she kind of took an interest in me as a lonely teenager living in a broken home, and she invited me to play on the church softball team. She saw me out throwing the softball up by myself in the backyard, and she said, oh, you'd like to play softball? Would you like to join the church team? That led to me starting to go to youth group, which led to me starting to go to church, which led to me watching her life up close and seeing the gospel displayed, and not only interactions, but she used her words. And it was through her that I became a Christian when I was 16 in the fall of my junior year of high school.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I remember reading, I believe I actually read it. I read a lot of stuff when it comes to talking to authors in their books. So I try to do, you know, a little bit of digging. But I think you mentioned that Miss Pat, when she opened up her doors, it wasn't about having everything in place. She invited you into her every day.
Yes, she did. They lived in an old church parsonage, so they didn't have real fancy house or furniture or anything. And she would often feed me warmed up leftovers after school. I'd go over to see her and she'd be like, oh, we had beef stew last night. You want some? And she always fed me, or she offered me some apple cinnamon tea. So I just sat there drinking the tea and enjoying the leftovers, playing with her kids. She just offered me a chair in her ordinary life. She's like, just pull up a chair and spend time with me. And it was through just spending those daily days of life with her that I saw something in her that I wanted. And that's when I began to ask more about Christianity. And, you know, my mom was a Christian and she had told me often the gospel story, but, you know, I was too busy just doing my own thing. I didn't really pay attention until I was a guest in Miss Pat's very ordinary home.
Wow. Well, something so ordinary can be extra extraordinary. And God uses us all in miraculous ways. Well, you are a New York Times bestselling author, which is awesome. But where did your writing, your love for writing come?
You know, I've always loved writing. I remember loving English, even in elementary school. I remember we wrote a play, a couple friends of mine. And I, when we were in fifth grade, we wrote a Christmas play. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember it was a Christmas play. And I went on to middle school and I took a journalism class and I loved writing for the school paper. And then I continued in journalism in high school and college and always had a goal to write a book by the time I turned 40. And so I wrote my first book when I was 37.
Oh my goodness. So there's still hope for someone who's sitting there at 40 going, well, maybe when I reach 50, I'll get a book written. You can do it anytime at any age. Is it something about words that just grab your heart?
I think so. I just, you know, I've always liked to talk and I just feel like writing is talking on paper. It was what my teachers used to comment on about me all the time in parent-teacher conferences. They'd tell my mom, boy, she talks a lot. She even talks when I'm trying to teach class, you know. But in my defense, I thought what I had to say was way more interesting than what the teacher was talking about. But when I met my husband, he thought, boy, can she talk, you know? And he loved that about me because he's pretty reserved and laid back. But about 3 days into our honeymoon, he thought, you know, I wonder when she's ever going to stop. In fact, he always jokes, Christiane, he jokes that if I pass away before he does, he knows exactly what he's going to put on my tombstone.
Oh, no.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
A period. She's finally done talking. She's finally done. It is finished.
It is finished. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. It would be really, needs to be a really big period, though, to make a statement.
Exactly. Exactly. But I like to communicate. I like to talk. I like to ask questions. And to me, writing is just talking on paper. So.
Oh, I love that. Well, your book, Reach Out, Gather In, it's such a pretty book, but it's one of those that you pick up. And it's not just one that you read. You also made it to where it's, you know, got that journal aspect. You could write in it. So you put that pen to paper. I'm a little old fashioned. I love pen to paper. It's so uniquely written, though. It's not your everyday book that you pick up. When we say 40 days to opening your heart and home, what's been your focus in writing the book?
Well, you know, I felt like there were two categories of books when it came to anything that had to do with hospitality. And this book isn't limited just to opening your home. It talks a lot about doing some things, you know, through your community and on the road to be a welcoming person. It's not just in your home, thank goodness, because of this day and age of COVID. But I feel like I found a lot of books that talked about the why of hospitality, the biblical mandate of hospitality, you know, the great results from hospitality. And so they talked a lot about the theory and the premise, but they never told how to do it. And then on the other hand, you got all kinds of books about cooking and cleaning and decluttering, getting your house ready. And there's all this, you know, physical preparation, but it never gave the why. So I wanted a book that not only gave the why of hospitality, but also showed you the how. And not just in my words on the page, but in adding these different journaling elements through it. So it's really their own 40-day journey. Now, it's not 40 days right in a row. How I've set it up is 8 sections, 5 days per section. So I envision people doing it over 8 weeks, Monday through Friday. So every Monday, there's a little one-sentence prayer about whatever the biblical lesson was that day. And on Tuesday, there's an optional memory verse. And on Wednesday, there's reflective questions and journaling. And then on Thursday is always something practical, like how to declutter your home or whatever. And then every 5th day, which is, this is funny because this is what I get asked about most often, are recipes. There are recipes. I mean, I'm telling you, Christine, I can go on Instagram and I make a post I think is so profoundly biblical and encouraging and is just going to really encourage my sisters in Christ. And yeah, get a little reaction, but boy, do I, if I post on that, I'm making autumn squash soup, I get like 29 people that want the recipe. So I wanted to make sure that I included some of these recipes I've been making for the past 30 years. Cause I know they're delicious. They're super easy and they've been tested on company. So I know they're going to turn out. So, that's kind of how, what it is. It's part inspirational. I dig into the Greek and Hebrew meanings of some different words about hospitality that we find in scripture. So I've got that why, but there's a lot of the how-to as well.
It is a great how-to portion. And what is your favorite recipe in all that you have in your book? What's the one?
Can I make it a tie between two?
Okay, sure. I'll give you a tie.
Okay. So my favorite one that's super simple and people always want the recipe too. It might be not unique to people in the Midwest because I think it's a Midwest thing, but it's 7-layer salad. It was a recipe that was in my husband's family, so I've been making it for 34 years, but it's delicious, and it's really pretty because you layer it in like a straight-sided clear trifle bowl, and it has these different layers of delicious things in it. But I take that to company, or I have it when I have company, or I take it to like a church get-together or whatever, and people always want it. But my second one, and I'm actually making it today, ooh, is my chocolate chip pumpkin bread.
I'm in. I'm coming over. I don't care how far you are.
It tastes like pumpkin pie, but every once in a while you get this burst of dark chocolate because it has dark chocolate chips in it, and it's so yummy. Every time I take it to like my kids' teachers or wherever, I always get asked for the recipe. So I thought, I got to put that one in the book.
You got to have that one. Okay, and you definitely need that warm apple cinnamon tea to go with it all. It's perfect for fall. It's absolutely perfect. Well, when we're talking hospitality, I know everybody's answer. How are you? Oh, I'm so busy. And they're like, I can't have anybody over. Have you not seen my house? You know, why do we hesitate as society to offer and invite people into our homes?
4 letters. You ready?
Yes.
HGTV. No, I'm kidding. I think that we have, though, in a way, we've looked at the cooking shows and the decorating shows and the fix up your house shows. And then we've looked at social media, our favorite influencers that we like to follow or the accounts that have to do with decorating and cleaning and cooking and all that. And I'm not saying that those aren't wonderful resources, but we need to keep them as resources. Like, mm-hmm. I just put shiplap in my house. It's okay to have yourself a little shiplap. But what happens is when we go beyond using it as a resource and we think we have to mimic them as a lifestyle, that's when we get tripped up because we suddenly think wrongly, if I don't have a beautifully redecorated, big, organized, clean home with well-behaved children and gourmet food on the table like they do on Instagram or like they do on HGTV, then I'm just not going to offer hospitality at all. So we have to get that perfection notion out of our brains. It's not going to look like that. It's not going to look like that.
Well, and it doesn't look like that. I mean, you have 3 children now, 2 with a mother-in-law, so you got a total of 5. I have 5 children. If we were to put our houses together, they're probably a beautiful mess together. You know, and life is messy, and that's where life happens, and that's where the beauty shows up. But I do think we're afraid to peel that back. For that person who says, I'm not going to show my house off. You have some clutter busting strategies. Share a couple of those with us.
Well, there's one concept that I like to encourage people to do. I actually learned about it years ago from a website called The Clean Team, but it's quick step cleaning. And so it's learning to clean your home in an efficient manner because you're not walking around the perimeter of your home several times. You have all your cleaning stuff right with you. So there, you take a little apron. It can just be one that you get at the hardware store, and you stick your tools in the apron. It's like the kind that roofers use, like when they're putting nails in their hammer and the little loop and stuff.
Yes.
And so you can clean very efficiently, because I think sometimes we think it's such a daunting task. And then also I just feel like we need to be ruthless with clutter, and we need to just walk around our rooms, take a couple boxes that maybe say put away, give away, take back, because it's stuff that you borrowed, and just walk around your room and look at all your objects and say, you know, is this something that I need to put away because it's in the wrong room? Is it something that I need to give away because I no longer use it, so I'm going to donate it to charity? Or is it something I need to take back because where did that casserole dish come from? That's not my casserole dish, you know? And I think if we get in the habit of doing that, maybe just once a month, just one Saturday a month, walk around your house and look at your different items. And if the item passes all the tests and you still have it in your hand, then it must be something that actually belongs in the room and something you actually use. Because what we fail to do is play defense at the back door. You know, we're always bringing in new stuff to our house without ever getting rid of old stuff. And we need to constantly be weeding it out so we don't have stacks and stacks of old magazines from 20 years ago, you know, before we could read magazines online, you know. I think we need to just really hone in on the clutter and then learn to clean quickly so that it's not such a daunting task.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because we can. I mean, just that the thought of it makes some people very anxious. And I'm thinking, how many toilets do I have to clean? And I'm thinking, as your kids get older, invite them into the celebration of a cleanly house.
Oh, amen. I used to always tell myself I wanted to work myself out of a job by the time my kids were 12 years old. So by the time my kids were 12, all of them, not saying they were very great at it, but they all did their own laundry. We had three bathrooms, well, two and a half bathrooms, but there were three toilets.
Right.
So I had three kids. You do the math. I quit cleaning toilets, you know, and I wanted them to be able to make a casserole and balance a checkbook. And, you know, these things that we keep doing for our kids. You know, sometimes I think we are moms and dads who do too much because we have kids who do too little. So you know what, if they're 12 and they can run a remote control or an iPhone, they can run the washing machine.
Amen, sister. Let's get our house clean, not just by our two hands, but also by their two hands. And when you think about it, your book is about hospitality, right? This giving so they can receive, but in giving, they too receive. It's amazing how it works. And, you know, allowing our children to step up to the plate and allowing them to get involved to prep, because they're going to want to invite their friends over. And they're going to feel a little bit like, oh, look at my room. It's put together, because they've learned those tools of the trade also. I love it, Karen. Well, you write in your book about soul sharing. What's soul sharing?
Soul sharing is going beyond the surface that we find so prevalent in our culture today. You know, we're connecting with people all day long through a screen. We're liking, you know, we're giving a heart, we're giving a thumbs up. We're doing a lot of surface sharing, but we're not really sitting down face to face in the flesh, social distance, of course, or even, you know, over the phone, but really going beyond just the, oh, I like that cat video you posted today, and really looking someone in the eye and saying, how are you? You know, how are you doing? What can I be praying about with you? And I think back to my mentor, Miss Pat, who led me to the Lord. You know, she didn't just say, oh, let's talk about softball because you're on the church softball team. She would say, how are you doing? You know, how are things going at school? How are things going in at home? And she would ask me about my interests and my dreams and my hopes and my fears. And it went so beyond just that, hi, how are you? Have a cup of tea and let's watch TV. Not that that's wrong, but to really get a peek into someone's soul by drawing out through some clarifying and instigating almost questions, their hopes, their dreams, their fears, their worries, you know, what makes them laugh, what makes them cry. It helps you to connect on a deeper level. And I just refer to that as soul sharing.
Oh, that's great. We don't soul share enough. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. We are so very surface. And I think part of it, too, is this immediate gratification. We want it now. And when you're hurting, you don't always get the answer now. It takes some time. And I don't think always we know how to deal with something that takes time. You know, when you cook that great turkey, mama's turkey, grandma's turkey wasn't great because it was done in 20 seconds at the drive-thru. It was great because it cooked 4, 5, 6, 7 hours at a time, and it was juicy and scrumptious, and there's so much more to that. I love that, Karen. You all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Reach Out, Gather In, 40 Days to Opening Your Heart and Home. Well, you had mentioned how you broke this up into sections. In day 17, you title it On Puzzle Pieces and Purpose. You write about the role our spiritual gifts play in showing love and hospitality. Share with us about that group of women you talked about in that particular day or on that day who all gave using their spiritual gifts.
Yeah, it was at that very first church on the corner there where I lived when I was in high school that they just welcomed me with open arms, and you know, I was a teenager not making the greatest choices, but I tell you, they greeted me like I was the guest speaker. You know, they made me feel so welcome. But there was a group of women there who each had different skills and different passions and different spiritual gifts. You know, some of them liked to bake cookies for the church nursery. Others were great at decorating. There was one woman who was really good at, now, this doesn't sound very spiritual, but at helping you to know like what hairstyle looked best on you, what color and style of clothing looked best. There was one who was a real prayer warrior, and she had just an immense love for prayer. And she was the first one I called if something was going wrong and I needed somebody to pray. Others were great at diving into scripture and cracking open the commentaries and teaching Bible studies. And what I loved about seeing them up close and personal was they weren't trying to be each other. They each had their own little, like I call it puzzle piece, their own little unique gifting, taking into account their natural talents, their passions, their spiritual gifts. And they were all different, but they blended together to just form a really welcoming spiritual family for me. They were like my spiritual moms and aunts and cousins. And they would call on each other for their area of expertise. You know, if somebody really needed to have some advice on how to and what color to paint their living room, you know, the one would go over and help the other. But then when that woman that was so great at painting needed prayer, well, she would call the woman who she just helped paint the room to pray for her. And it just formed a really tight-knit community where people had a common goal to serve the Lord and to love each other, but they had their unique way of doing it.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And, you know, part of that, I think, in today's world is we get caught in comparison. Mm-hmm. And we try to be like, not necessarily that we're trying to be like somebody else, but we're trying to get our life accelerated to where, oh, well, I want to be kind of where this person is, whether it's looking at your influencer, looking at your next door neighbor, doesn't matter, looking at your friend in school, if you're physically going to school nowadays. How do we begin to set up and look at our own, what you call spiritual resume?
Yes, we need to get our eyes off of everyone else. I always refer to it as coming apart at the seams because it seems like everyone has a better marriage. It seems like this one has a nicer house, and it seems like this one has more well-behaved children. Right when I'm getting a call from the principal at the middle school because my child did something that landed him in the principal's office. Not that that's ever happened to anybody I know personally. You know, but you know, we get our eyes on those people rather than going to the Lord and saying, what are my giftings? What are my passions? And asking our close friends, people that have known us up close and personal at church or in our circle of friends, and saying, you know, where do you see my gifts? What do you think is my spiritual gift? Where do you think my passions lie? What skills do I have that could be helpful to others in the body of Christ or others in my community or my neighborhood? And getting our eyes off of those people that we think have better lives than us and asking the Lord to help us to see our own lives as an exciting ministry, as a mission. Help it to unfold so that we are no longer wishing we were someone else, but we're grateful for the gifts he's given us, and we see results because we're using them for his glory.
Oh, so good. So good, Karen. Well, I have to ask you this. What's on your spiritual resume?
Ah, okay. So I'm not the painter. I'm not the fashion person. I'm the words person. So if you need help, you know, wording something, call me. I'll help you. Or if you need help editing something grammar-wise or spelling-wise, call me. I'll help you. I'm the encourager. I'm not necessarily that prayer warrior. I'm a little more prayer wimp than prayer warrior, just to be real honest. But I love to encourage people. I love to see something in them and draw it out and encourage them that they can do it, that they have a talent or they have a gift, and really kind of fan the flames of that and encourage them. I love to cook and bake. I've actually won several blue ribbons at our local county fair, if I can brag for a second.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So if there's something going on and you need a snack, I'm your girl. If there's somebody that's had a death in the family and they need a meal brought in, I'm your girl. So I love encouraging. I love cooking. I love words. And I love to encourage people with my words. And that's kind of my little spiritual resume. And I walk people through coming up with your own spiritual resume. And there's a real cute in the back of the book, one that you can photocopy on like cardstock and then write in your results of these questions you work through. And then you can put it there right where you'll see it. So you remember to focus on your own gifts and passions and talents and spiritual gifts.
Amen. And you also have resources in your book for those who want to go even a step further beyond, you know, asking your friends, which I think is important, man, friends and your family. It's an eye opener when you say, what do you see in me? But they also have different quote unquote tests or quizzes out there. And you give reference to that within your book. So when you pick up your own copy of Reach Out, Gather In, you'll find that 40 days to opening your heart and home. All right, so we went on day 17. I got to go to day 18. You title it, Go Find Your Own Self, your old self, which kind of can be your own self too. How can God use your old self to serve in the present?
Yeah, this is a concept that has just really made me see my life as an exciting mission rather than a humdrum, boring, I wish I was someone else. And this is the concept. I grew up in a broken home. Child of divorce at a time when there weren't a lot of people in my small town and in my school who were from divorced families. And I remember how I felt back then. And I remember how when Miss Pat reached out to me and I started to be mentored by her, how she really helped me through not only that, but other things that happened in my life, you know, getting my heart broken by a boyfriend or, you know, not making the cheerleading squad one year when I didn't make it, you know, and she would draw back from her past when she was in the same situation as me, and she would comfort me and she would encourage me. And I think about the scripture that talks about how God comforts us so with his comfort so that we in turn can comfort others. And so now that I'm grown up, who does God bring to my life and who do I specifically sometimes be on the lookout for, but children of divorce? My two older kids were homeschooled all the way through, not because I was anti-public schools. I used to be a public school teacher, but my husband worked afternoons and he would have never seen the kids at all because he would leave for work about 5 minutes before they got home from school. So for years we homeschooled, but then our third one was only homeschooled through seventh grade and then my husband got put on days. Well, that son went to public school, brought home a whole slew of friends, and sitting around my kitchen island at the time, I lived in a different house, were so many kids who were from broken homes. And I could honestly look them in the eye and say, I know just how you feel, and do something to encourage them. It was like going back and making it full circle, you know, comforting them with the comfort I received from the woman who comforted me with the comfort she received. And so I encourage people, you know, think of a season or a circumstance in your life that was hard, but that where, you know, you saw God show up and meet you and be on the lookout for that person. It might be as simple as you once made a cross-country move and you moved to not only a new town, but a whole new state, and you didn't know a soul. And you remember how lonely you felt for those first few months. Go look for someone like that. Is there someone like that at work? Is there someone like that in your neighborhood? Is there someone like that at your kid's school? Or maybe you're in the grocery store. This is a real simple one. And I do this a lot. And you see that mom who is grocery cart wrestling, not with the cart, but with the kids trying to climb out of it. And she's got a screaming baby in the front. And then there's, you know, a kid in the cart grabbing stuff off the shelves, wailing and screaming. And she looks frazzled and like she hasn't slept in days. don't roll your eyes and walk by and think, well, my children never behaved like that. You know they did.
Oh,
you know
yes.
they did. Instead, you know, slip her a $10 bill, say on the way home, get some nuggets for the little guys and yourself a latte, and remember you're doing an important work. Hang in there, Mom. You can do it. You can do it. If that was what you once were, that mom with the kids in the cart, go find a mom with kids in the cart. Go find your old self and do something to emotionally encourage them, financially encourage them, or to help lighten their load and meet a need.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. And we need to be in search of that, because we can close ourselves down, Karen, and just kind of live in our own world. And the how are you really doesn't mean anything anymore. We say right. it and we're like, we're waiting for that short answer. Oh, I'm fine, guy. You know, goodbye. That's it. And you're like, no, right. no. We need to be more of how are you? I want to help you. I want to love you where you're at. And I want you to know that you're seen and that you're heard. That is such a beautiful thing that I think we've missed out because of social media. But we could be here on that yeah. subject for a very long
oh,
time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could do a whole series on that one.
Exactly. We'll just bring you back and we'll just do a whole series on that one alone. And then you can take it and write a book about it. Okay. So hospitality. We've done a lot of talking about bringing everybody into the home. What about hospitality outside of your four walls? What does that look like?
There are a lot of things you can do if you just get creative. You know, it doesn't have to always be that you open your front door and a whole mess of people come in and they sit at your table and eat a big meal. That's one way to look at hospitality, but it's not the only way. So think of other places where you can be welcoming. Maybe in your office, you know, you can have a little basket there of protein bars and granola and stuff, and people can wander by your desk and grab a snack, but you also have another little basket there with a pen and some sticky notes and say, hey, if you have anything you want me to pray about, put it on a sticky note. I'll be happy to pray for you. Now, of course, make sure that's okay at your workplace. Some places might frown on that. Or you can use the U.S. mail to deliver welcome. I love to send care packages to people. In fact, especially in this pandemic that we're experiencing, you know, think of maybe your best friend from high school or college or from a town you used to live in that you haven't talked to in a while. But you can remember some of her favorite things. Her favorite, you know, flavor of tea, or her favorite snacks, or her favorite author, and maybe that author just came out with a new book. Well, put together like a gift basket in a box with a book and some tea and a new mug and some treats and a handwritten letter. Anybody remember handwritten letters? And send it off to her, you know, and just give her some encouragement right there in that box that arrives in the U.S. mail. And even think of other places where you can be welcoming. Maybe there's a new family at church, or maybe there's a new player on your child's sports team, and so there's a new mom standing on the sideline at the soccer game that you've never met before. Well, show up one day with two spiced hot ciders, one for her and one for you, and get to know her. Hospitality doesn't always need to involve your four walls.
Okay, everybody just needs to chew on that one. I know we're somewhat COVID restricted, but this is something we can plan and look forward to as an adventure around the corner after, you know, our new normal somewhat changes back to whatever our old normal is going to become. I love it. We need to take that hospitality beyond the four walls. And think about it. Jesus Christ did it himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't sit inside four walls and say, oh, you all come to me. If you don't come to me, I'm not going to tell you anything. Oh, no, no, no. He went out. He brought it to them. And I think that is so very important. All right, we've hit day 17, day 18. We've hit a few others in between. I want to fast forward a little bit to day 38.
I was going to say, I bet you I know what day you're going to ask about.
Yep. Who'd you bring with you? One of those things, right? You got teenage kids. They're coming in. They're going out. You share a touching story of Grant, and I think there were a pile of shoes involved too.
Yes, yes, yes. So when my youngest son, who I said a minute ago, went to public school, he got a whole new slew of friends, and they often would end up at our house. We actually loved that. We wanted to be the teenage hangout. It's a lot easier to put your ear on the register on the floor and listen to what's going on in the man cave down in the basement when they're playing their video games. And and such and having their snacks. So just a mess of kids always wound up at our house when our youngest son, Spencer, was in middle school and high school. And sometimes I wouldn't even know that a mess of kids had showed up at my house on, say, a Friday night. I'd be in my home office. It's a little guest room that I have a desk in. And I'd be working away on something, and then I would go out to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and I'd walk by my front entryway, and there'd be this huge pile of shoes. And I didn't even know anybody had come into my house because I was so busy working, and I put on white noise when I work, and so it kind of drowns out the sound, and so I didn't even know anybody was there. And about that time, my son would bound up the stairs to go get some more snacks for all the kids that were down there, and I would always say the same thing to him. I'd say, "Oh, hey, you're home. Who'd you bring with you? Who'd you bring with you?" And he would rattle off, you know, "Oh, Jabari and Emilio and Blake and Grant." And then the other Grant, I called him first and second Grant. And then he'd go back down and have his time with his friends. Well, I didn't want, as an author, to always have my kids remembering me with my face in my laptop. So I try to do my writing when they're not around. And one time that usually works for me is to get up early on Saturday mornings from like 6 o'clock till 9:30 or 10. I know I'm pretty good because those kids that have spent the night in my basement are probably not going to get up and want their homemade waffles until about 9:30, 10 o'clock. So I thought I was safe. Well, that's until second Grant moved to our school district and became a part of this gang of guys. He's an early riser, and he would bound up the stairs. I'd be sitting there drinking my coconut mocha coffee, and he'd make himself a cup because he liked coconut mocha coffee, and he'd plop on the couch next to me, and he'd look at me there on my computer. I'm, you know, obviously working, and he would say, "Oh, hey, Mama Karen, what you doing?" And at that time, I was working on a message that I gave often when I spoke at churches and retreats and such, and it's actually the topic of this book, of this, you know, reaching out to that person right in front of you and noticing the person who least expects to be seen. And I would look at second Grant and think, "What am I doing? I'm trying to write a book on noticing the person right in front of you. Would you leave me alone?" You know? And I felt like, Christiane, like the Lord was saying, "Oh, I get it, Karen. You want to give the message. You just don't want to live it." Mm. And so I'd shut my laptop because God's so bossy sometimes. And I'd sit and visit with Grant. I tried to work into the conversation, you know, my relationship with God, and talk to him about, you know, what he thought of matters of faith and stuff. Because those boys always knew if they were going to eat my cheesy corn chowder, it came with a side of a sermon. That's just how I. So fast forward about 9 months of hanging out on Saturday mornings with second Grant. One day he asked me if my husband and I were going to be around like 3 Sundays from then. He was like, "What are you doing the third Sunday in March or whatever?" And I thought it was because there was a big game on and he wanted me to make snacks for him. And I said, "Oh, what game's on? What snacks do you guys want?" And he said, "Oh, no, Mama Karen." He said, "I've become a Christian. And I want you to be there when I get baptized that night." And I remember thinking, "Oh my word, I almost missed it." Mm. I almost missed it. I almost didn't get to be a part of seeing God draw this kid to himself, because God does the drawing. He would have done it without me.
Amen.
But I sat there in the front row that day seeing not only second Grant, but his brother and his mother all get baptized. And, you know, when I think about that time with him, I can almost not talk about it without crying, but I think about in the future when we're in heaven, you know, I don't think God's going to say to us, you know, "How successful were you in your career?" Or, you know, "How stellar did your kids turn out? You're going to be, you know, congratulated on your parenting prowess." You know, I think what the Lord's going to say to us is the same thing that I say to my son Spencer when I spy that pile of shoes. "Oh, hey, you're home. Who'd you bring with you? Who'd you bring with you?" That needs to be our mission much more than all the big lofty things we're trying to do, now that it's not good to do big lofty things, but it's slowing down to notice that person sitting right beside you who just needs to know that they're wanted, they're welcomed, and they're loved.
Amen. Beautifully said, Karen. I know women and even men are going to want to reach out to you. Where can they connect with you?
The one-stop shopping place is probably just to go to my website, which is KarenEman.com, and Eman is spelled E-H-M-A-N. And from there, you can see where I'm hanging out on social media and, you know, check out my blog and hear about my books and my speaking.
Well, I know people are going to want to pick up their own copy of Reach Out, Gather In, 40 Days to Opening Your Heart and Home. Well, Karen, before I let you go, I have one final question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
I think my story has made me stop being on the lookout for people that have life better than me and instead be on the lookout for those who surely don't and do something to encourage them and make their day. And in a strange way, it makes my day as well.
Well, Karen, I know you're an encouragement and a blessing to many. I know this book will bless others, and I continue to celebrate what God has bestowed on your life, as I know he will move you through many more adventures. Blessings, and thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.